We don't want to miss this moment. And I want you to know that I'm not just talking about the moment that we have right now in this wonderful presence of the Lord. I'm talking about the moment in the season in which we find ourselves in the world today, and even in our personal lives. There is so much that God desires for you and I to get out of these times of worship, but also when we go through these experiences in life. And many of you have been through a lot of things, and there's lessons for all of us to learn. Sometimes we miss those moments. I want to talk about, and I want to highlight a couple of teachable moments in the scriptures for us. Because I believe right now, the sovereign God is orchestrating things for the biggest outpouring of his presence the world has ever seen. I believe he's setting the stage for what Marvel called the end game. We're coming up to the end game, y'all. And the stage is being set. Most of you know I like to watch those movies and different kinds of movies. And there's a scene in the end game when it looks like all is lost. And Captain America is strapping on his shield that's all broken up and busted up because he's not willing to give up. I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to give up. Paul said, though troubled on every side, not distressed, perplexed, but not despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but never destroyed, always bearing in the body the Lord Jesus. He's talking about never giving up. And in the scene when he's all bloodied up and he straps on his broken shield, like to just go one more time against Thanos, knowing, okay, it's about to be over. He hears this voice, Cap, on your left. And all of a sudden, all of these portals begin to open up. And all the people who were lost in an earlier situation all begin to come through those portals. Incredible scene. Army is amassed. I want to tell you this, if you can catch this in the spirit. Oh God, all over the world, there are portals that are opening up. I'm talking about kingdom portals. That what is coming through the armies, the angel armies, for the sake of the people of God. Now you have to see the movie to really get the visual, but I'm telling you what I see. There is an army that's being raised up on the earth and an army that's being unleashed from heaven at the very same time. It's like when the prophet spoke to his servant and his servant said, what are we to do because there's so many of them against us? And the prophet said, God, open his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he saw chariots of fire. And he saw that the armies that were in the spirit were greater than those in the natural. I want to tell you that we're living in a season, we're living in a space right now where you're going to have to choose whether you're going to live in the natural or are you going to find the place in the realm of the spirit and do everything it takes to stay there, everything it takes to live there. We find ourselves living in this duality. Yes, we are on planet Earth, but the scripture says we are to be in the earth, but not of it. Now, I'm not talking about you and I getting off somewhere and being religious. I'm talking about you and I recognizing every morning we get up as a kingdom resident. We get up as a kingdom citizen. And And while I am in this physical body, there's a spirit man on the inside of me that is ruling and that is reigning. And I give space and time to hear that voice over everything that's going on around. How many of you get up sometimes, you're just bombarded by life. You're just bombarded by things that are just coming on you. Just before your feet can hit the ground, your mind is racing. I want to tell you something. There's a discipline that you can find where you just shut all that down and say, God, I just want to hear from you. Still every voice. Still every, put everything on pause. Yeah, I know you're there. We're going to get to you in a minute if we have to get to you at all. And find that place in the spirit that causes you and I to not be flustered, to not be worried, to not become anxious. The scripture says, be anxious for nothing. On last week, I spoke to us out of the scriptures concerning trusting God to provide, trusting in God's provision. And I read out of Matthew, the sixth chapter. I want to say chapters 20, Matthew chapter 6, 25 through maybe 33, 34 at the most. But in that is where Jesus is saying, don't take thought of what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Your heavenly Father knows everything that you need. Now, I'm talking to you now. Your heavenly Father, if you're born again, your heavenly Father knows what you need. It's in our trust, our confidence in Him that keeps us in that place of faith. And Jesus says this. So this is what you need to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Or all these things, here you go, are already added. Thank you, Kelvin. All these things are already added. Hallelujah. You get the prophet's reward, Kelvin. I'm just having fun. But for the church, say the church. For the body of Christ, say the body of Christ. For kingdom people, say kingdom people. I want to tell you something. We don't want to miss this moment. We can't afford to miss it. Others around us can't afford for us to miss it. We must recognize the opportunity and opportunities that are before us. And so I want to spend just a few moments, Pastor Val, talking about demonstrating the power and provision of God's kingdom. Demonstrating the power and provision of God's kingdom. There are no shortages in the kingdom, y'all. There are no shortages in the body of Christ. There are no shortages. We just have to really tap into the fact that we are connected, that we are connected to one another. We are to look out for one another. We are to take care of one another. And as a result of that, God blesses us to begin to bless others as well. But I am clear that there's one thing that has hindered us. It's that we have not really, or I won't say all of us, but many of us, because we love God and we serve God in the way in which we've been taught to serve God, and we are living out our Christian life based on the way we have been taught to live it. And yet in many ways we still are coming up woefully short. And I believe it has to do with the reality of living in a place of church and not kingdom. There is a thought, a phrase that God gave me years ago called the danger of religion. And I'm going to look at it a little more, but I feel I need to just say it right now. The danger of religion is this, that it gives the appearance of a relationship with God that does not really exist. I'm talking about religion. The danger of religion is that it gives the appearance of a relationship with God that does not really exist. There is no real meaningful relationship without the heart being in it. That's why Jesus, in one of his times challenging the people around me, he says, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. He's saying, we really don't have a relationship. We're really not kicking it, y'all, the way that you are trying to portray this, or you're trying to make it look like. And unfortunately for the church, for many in the church, we've learned to do religion, but we've not learned to do relationship. We've learned to do church, but we've not learned to do kingdom. And I'm telling you, we can't miss this moment. Because as I said also on last week, that where we find ourselves is what I call that divine 360. It's as if God says himself, okay, I'm going to help you identify with where you're at. I'm going to help you identify with where you are in your trust, where you are in your faith, where you are in your confidence concerning me. I'm going to help you identify yourself. In the corporate world, when they talk about a 360, it's a process that they take you through to help you really see yourself in light of how others see you. It's a different way of the dynamic of Jahari's window. There's four sides to every person. There's a side of me that I see that you see. There's a side of me that I see that you don't see. There's a side of me that you see that I don't see. This is the side that you don't see and I don't see, only God sees. But how many of you know God sees all and he knows all? And I want us to recognize that even in this moment, it's a teachable moment. Say teachable moment. Now, one of the things that can be challenging for us as believers is we in many ways have not taught that all of life is teachable. There's teachable moments all along the way. And as a believer, there's teachable moments to bring you into a greater revelation, a greater reality of the manifestation of the kingdom of God. However, if you are not sensitive to that, you can go through one experience after another experience after another experience, and you never got the lesson. You never benefited from it. And I want to just say to all of us, I believe that's where many are right now in the church as it relates to what's going on with this virus. Now, I'm not saying we are to overlook it. What I am saying is this. You and I, as born-again believers who have walked with God any amount of time, real time, should be in a place to be able to walk in faith, in trust, no fear. Doing the right things, doing the things we need to do to stay safe and to keep others safe, but you're not doing it out of fear. You're doing it out of wisdom, and you're doing it out of obedience, because as long as we live on this planet, we're going to have to abide by some of the rules of the planet and those who have rule over us. It's called government, and it's called governing, and that the scripture talks about. Honor those who are in places of authority, because no one is in authority that God hasn't allowed. Now, we may not like it, but just keep reminding yourself, God is in charge. God is in charge. One day, all accounts will be settled. Everything will be set in place right where it needs to be. Last week, I also talked about, and I showed us how that God moved miraculously over and over and over concerning the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. And it wasn't just those plagues. When he brought them out, he started feeding them. Quail dropping out the sky, manna coming down from heaven, water coming out of rocks. He's working miracles for the sake of his people. And I'm telling you today, he's working miracles for the sake of his people. Can I get about three more in this space just to clap with the two that was clapping? Come on. He's working miracles right now. He's working miracles right now. Come on, Kayla. He's working miracles right now. Yeah, help me out. He's working miracles. He's working miracles right now. He's working miracles right now. After you get done looking at CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and whatever outlet you look at, you need to dial it down, put it on mute, and say, he's working miracles right now. He's working miracles right now. We need to be informed. We need to be able to discern the truth. But I'm telling you, You need, we need the Word of God speaking louder than any other voice that's speaking. We need the Holy Spirit's voice speaking louder than any voice that we hear. He is the one that calibrates, recalibrates, sets things in order for all of us. So as the church, as the body of Christ, as residents of the kingdom of God, I believe that we have the opportunity to see ourselves in light of not only the situation we find ourselves in, but the Word of God and what God has intended to do in us and through us, and then align ourselves with it for the sake of the greater things that should be happening in our lives and happening in the earth. When Jesus walked the earth, Jesus modeled, demonstrated the power of the kingdom. So I want to look at two examples here very quickly. The first one is in John, the sixth chapter. It's the feeding of the 5,000. And many people like to talk about that because it is, without a doubt, an unprecedented manifestation of the power of God, the demonstration of the power and the provision of God. But I want to tell you, it was also set up to be a teachable moment. Say a teachable moment. Now I'm just still sticking with that phrase, don't want to miss the moment. Don't want to miss the moment. We don't want to miss the moment. See, one of the things that you want to posture yourself is in this place that you're not just going through to get through. You're not just going through something to get through something. When you're going through it, focus on the lesson. A lot of times we pray out of that, beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Jesus. Get me out of this situation. Get me out of this thing that's going on. Instead of in the middle of it saying, what is it you're trying to say to me? What is the lesson that you want me to get out? How can I be stronger once I get through this? How can I be more confident once I get through this? How can I be more bold when I get through this? How can I walk in greater authority when I get through this? I don't want to just go through it to get through it. I want to focus on the lesson. So many times we get through it and we're kind of walking away like, what was that? And I will also say there are some things that you only understand later on. But I'm going to tell you that perspective plays a big part in it. And so as Jesus is walking with his disciples, it says this in John, the sixth chapter. It says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. It says, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Now I want you to recognize that when the kingdom is in demonstration, when the power of the kingdom is in demonstration, people will come if just to see the show. But that's all right, because a lot of times that's just the bait. That's just the bait. That's just to get their attention. That's why we're going to begin to experience in this house, you're going to begin to experience opportunity in your life to demonstrate the power of God. We're going to see more miracles, signs, and what we sang at this morning. We're going to see more miracles, signs, and wonders happening in our midst because it's going to cause people to look. You know, a sign is just that. A sign points to something. A sign is a message. You're going to see that in a minute too when the religious folks were trying to mess with Jesus. They were following because of the miraculous signs that he was performing on the sick. It says, then Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Say teachable moment. Come on, say teachable moment. Now look at verse 6. He asked this only to test him. He asked this question only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Make no mistake, God is not guessing. God is not guessing. God is not guessing. That's why when people say he's working it out, like God is working it out, I'm saying, no, that you can't go there with God. He's not working it out, it's worked out. Brothers, you hear me? He's not working it out, it's worked out. The only challenge is you and I coming in alignment with what he's already worked out. That's where the time differentiation is. It's already worked out. But once you and I come in alignment with us already worked out, then it's manifested. He asked them only to test them. He already knew what he was going to do. Gave opportunity to locate where they were at. Gave opportunity for them to locate where they were at. Not Jesus recognizing where they are. Jesus really knew. And so it says this. Now look at this. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. What's happening here? He's just simply trying to assess and rationalize how this could happen. What's put before them is, will you operate out of the natural or will you tap into the supernatural? Will you operate out of the natural, brothers, or will you tap into the supernatural? Will you operate out of the natural, which will only accomplish so much, or will you operate in the supernatural, which will accomplish everything that God has intended for us? Yeah, that's a good time to clap. Because here's what I want all of us to recognize. It is a conscious decision you make over and over and over. You decide how you're going to handle any given situation. And so Jesus is not upset with what he says. It goes on in verse 8, says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will that go among so many? See, they're dealing with it out of this place of the rational thinking. They're dealing with this place out of their rational approach. But it's some years ago that God spoke to me and showed me the dynamic of it in the scriptures, the principle, the pattern of it in the scripture. Illogical instructions for miraculous results. Illogical instructions for miraculous results. You can look through the scriptures and over and over and over. Pastor Kel, when are you going to find it? Illogical instructions for miraculous results. Meaning what? God's going to speak something to you that's going to bypass your brain. It's going to bypass your logic of how this should happen. And when he does that, when he gives that opportunity, he's giving you and I opportunity to step into a greater realm of the manifestation of his kingdom. He's giving you and I opportunity to step into another place that brings about the greater manifestation of the purpose and destiny for which you were born. And so he says to them, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. The men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Now, so that means men, not counting women and children. So it was more than 5,000. You get that? Okay. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those to those who were seated. As much as they wanted, he did the same with the fish. Come on, say no lack. Come on, say, no lack in the kingdom. Say it again, no lack in the kingdom. What's happening right here? Jesus is operating out of his kingdom. Those around him, the disciples, have now stepped into the realm of the kingdom. It's a teachable moment, a lesson or lessons to be learned. It says, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather all the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. See, God has a way of providing beyond what we think. A few weeks ago, whole thing with the pandemic and the virus came up, we begin to think about and strategize and begin to have some conversations with some of the staff of Genesis to make sure we were going to have enough food. And everybody right now is running to the stores and everybody's running out and they're doing this and doing that, buying up all the toilet paper and all the hand sanitizer and all the snacks and everything. And we are thinking, I'm talking about us here with Ayers Covenant Church, F3 Cafe, what are we going to do? Are we going to be able to have enough to provide for the men? Because I think, brothers, you know by now that we care for you. We care about you. That's okay. You don't have to clap. I appreciate that. But this isn't about a job. This is a calling. And be it you or somebody else, we are kingdom people. There's no lack in the kingdom. And so when we're looking at our funds and our resources and trying to figure out, do we have all the resources, enough money to get and try to go out and find the stuff and buy it, through just a couple of people talking right here on a Sunday morning, the question came up, maybe we ought to reach out to this casino downtown. And in one phone call, one conversation, the gentleman down there said, we have more food than we know what to do with. We're not open. Bring a truck down here. Bring the biggest truck you can bring. Rented a U-Haul truck, went down. We came back with so much food, we had to figure out where we're going to put it. And then we fixed like 40, 50 crates of fresh food and vegetables. And Gary took them out into the community in the rain and passed them out. That's kingdom. That's kingdom. That's kingdom. But hear me when I tell you, that's not a one-off. That's not, it just happens one time. What God is desiring for his church is to recognize, I've been teaching you all along. One lesson after another for you personally, for us corporately. Now it's time for you to stand up. Now it's time for you to rise up and begin to operate in that which you've learned through trial and test, through varied circumstances, because you really have been prepared to be an answer in the light of all that's going on right now. It's a teachable moment. We had more food than we know. And then it just really got exponential. Because then it wasn't just that location. Then another location called us. Then another location. We had three or four different locations calling us. Say, can you come get this food? Can you come get this food? Can you come get this food? I don't mind telling you, brother, some of y'all are eating better than some in their households right about now. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Now it goes on and it says here, it says, when they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets. Say 12 baskets. 12 represents the number of government. 12 baskets with the pieces, the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Jesus presents to them an opportunity. In their natural thinking, they're saying, we don't have enough. How could we accomplish it? Those of you that are joined to this house, those of you that are listening by way of Facebook or will watch this on the internet or watch it on our website, joined to this house, know about our ministry. You know that we would not be here had we not pressed into the reality of God's kingdom. Everything in the natural said no. But not God. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. So they walk away from that experience. Now keep in mind, they 5,000 men, families, they feed them all with two fish and five loaves of bread. When it's all over, they gather up, one pastor says 12 baskets full. Say overflow. Come on, say overflow. In the kingdom, there's overflow. In the kingdom, there's more than enough. We have to begin to think kingdom and live in the reality that we are his church in the kingdom. So let me show you another passage here as we move along. So in Mark the eighth chapter, it says this. In those days, starting at verse 1, it says, when there was again a large crowd. Say again. So I want you to recognize that this that's happening now is after what happened with the 5,000. Okay, it says, again, a large crowd, and they had nothing to eat. Jesus called his disciples and said to them. Now, this is another time of him testing his disciples. This is another time of him, now he's expecting something different. I think that it would be well for all of us to recognize that when God has moved in your life in a certain way, he's blessed you in a certain way, he's healed you in a certain way, he's provided in a certain way, he's come through for you in a certain way, he's expecting that you took note of that. And so if you see anything similar to that as you continue to move forward, you're handling it differently because of what he's done for you and what he did to help you in your growth and development in him. Is that making sense to you? Now that's kingdom. That's kingdom. See, one of the dynamics of the kingdom is that everybody learns to feed themselves. One of the dynamics in the kingdom is everybody learns to feed themselves. And the reason why I'm driving that point home right about now is because many have not done well. We. I say we. I'm a part of the body. And like Nehemiah, when he interceded on behalf of the people, he included himself in it. I don't want to sound like I'm some elite place. No, I'm walking this out like everybody else. But we in many of our settings, we have not done well to teach our folk how to feed themselves. Consequently, people come back week after week, Sunday after Sunday. I need a word, I need a word, I need a word, I need a word, I need a word. When in fact, there is a place in our maturing in God that you have a steady diet of the word because you feed on the word. So when do we grow? When does the body grow? When does the maturing take place? So it's not about you come because you need a word. You come because you got a word. I'm here today to add strength. I'm good. I'm just here today to add strength. I'm not coming in limping. I'm not coming in weak. I've been feeding all week. I got revelation. The power of God is stirring on the inside of me. I'm just coming to add strength to what's going on here. Let's get some things done today. That's a kingdom mindset. Thank you, God. So there was a large crowd again. And Jesus says this to his disciples: I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come a great distance. And his disciples answered him. Now listen to this. Where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? Come on, just say missed opportunity. Come on, say they missed the moment. Because had they learned the lessons in feeding the 5,000, because listen, Jesus didn't walk around handing out the food. He blessed it, gave it to them. They fed the 5,000. And so there's a dynamic here that I want to present to all of us. When you find yourself in moments like these, where there is a need, maybe your posture just simply needs to be, Father, how do you want to handle this? And what is my part in it? How do you want to handle this? And what is my part in it? Because the missed opportunity, the missed moment here, was for one of them to stand up and say, hey. Now, if I'm remembering correctly, I think we had more people when we fed the last group than this group. And the last group, we did that with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And if we did it then, is it possible, Jesus? I'm just asking. Is it possible that maybe we could do it again? The power of God should be a constant in the church of God. The power of God should be a constant in the body of Christ. The power of God should be a constant in your life and in my life. One of the challenges that we have is that things have become convenient for us. And I'm all about, I enjoy conveniences as well. But their first thought went to, where could we find even a place to buy what we need? And it says this in verse 5. And he, Jesus, was asking them, how many loaves do we have? And they said, 7. Now listen to this. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground. And taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks and broke them. It says, and started giving them to his disciples to serve them. And they served them to the people. The disciples did the miracle. Say, the disciples did the miracle. Come on, say, the disciples participated. Then it says, they also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them, he ordered these to be served as well. So now they're eating fish and bread just like the 5,000 did. See, at some point, you ought to have a deja vu. Oh, this feels kind of strangely familiar. I think I might have been here before. And when we are going through life's lessons, we're going through life's courses, the situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in, if we can posture ourselves to learn the lesson, get the degree, and be able to move on, we'll find our lives looking more like Jesus. We'll find our lives looking more like kingdom than what the world has to offer us. It says, and they ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. Number 7, completion. It says, and 4,000 were there, and he sent them away. And immediately he entered the boat with his disciples and came to the district of Dalmanutha. Yeah. That almost sounded like tongues, didn't it? And immediately, it goes on and says, the Pharisees came out and began to argue with him. Seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. Now we're talking about the religious folk, talking about the religious leaders. I'm back to the statement that I made earlier, the dangers of religion. The danger of religion is that it gives the appearance of having a relationship with God that does not really exist. They were challenging Jesus because of the people that were following him. They're questioning him. They're sowing seeds of doubt. And we, even in the body of Christ, we must be very careful about that with one another. But Jesus, in verse 12, says, sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. Leaving them, he again embarked and went away to the other side. Now look at this. And they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than 1 loaf in the boat with them. And he, Jesus, was giving orders to them, saying, watch out! Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. You see, he was warning them of that attitude of doubt, unbelief, that had not spread to them by the religious leaders. They began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? See, that statement was like when God said to Moses in Exodus 14, why are you standing here crying out to me? Because God is saying, now hold up, Moses. Wait a minute. Okay, you remember all them plagues that I did? Do you remember by your hand what I did? Sometimes in moments of crisis, except that there is the intentionality to press past the crisis to see him. You and I can act like anybody else when crisis hits. But that's where prayer comes in. That's where worship comes in. And that's where the discipline of devotion comes in. Getting quiet with God, getting still with Him. See, recognize that this is how Jesus walked out over and over and over what was happening in His life. Matter of fact, let me go back to John, the 6th chapter. After He had fed the 12, but 15, listen to this, verse 15, it says, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make Him king by force, withdrew again, say again. Come on, say again. Withdrew again to a mountain by Himself. If we have not learned to draw away, pull away, get still, get quiet for yourself, life will run you over. And before you know it, as people of faith, we're living our lives like everybody else. And unfortunately, that's part of the dynamic we see right now in the body of Christ. But I'm grateful to God. I learned years ago to build a discipline into my life of getting still, getting quiet, pulling away, just getting in the presence of God. Not talking, just still in His presence. You see, this is something the Father is saying, I want to help you get to the other side of this so that we can get on with My business. Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? God says to Moses, why are you standing here crying out to Me? He says, you stretch out your rod and part the sea. What He's saying is, after all of the experiences we have had together, you've had lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson. And at some point, it ought to mean something. At some point, you ought to know what you know, what you know, what you know. You know that you know that you know that you know. And out of that place, and to others around you, it's going to look strange. It's going to look crazy. They might think you're out of your mind. There had to be people that when Moses stretched out his rod, they're like, what is he doing? He need to be telling us how we're going to get out of here, only to watch the sea begin to part. And Jesus, what He's saying to them is, and this is what He pulls into their thinking. Latter part of 17 says, do you not see, yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? What He's saying is, out of everything that I've done, everything that we're doing, He says, you still don't get it? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Do you not remember? I stand here today, my faith still intact. Though times have been hard, I will not look back, except to remind myself, God, You have kept me by the power of Your might. You have kept me over and over. You have kept me a testimony of Your grace. You have kept me over and over. To You I give all my praise, for God, You have kept me. Yeah. That's how sometimes you just got to get still. Be reminded. Remind yourself places of worship, places of prayer, time in the Word. Sometimes I just sit down and I just rehearse. Pastor Nina, I rehearse the times in my life how God has continually delivered me, the things that he's delivered me from. If the enemy had his way, I'd have been taken out a long time ago. I've been in at least 4 different car accidents. I'm talking about on the freeway, on the highway. On one particular drive, I'm coming back in town from being on an assignment, and I'm driving along the little Ford Escort, one of the little Ford jobs. And I'm coming around this curve off of the outer belt coming onto 71. It's just starting to snow and it's starting to come down, and I'm coming around. At the same time I'm coming around, there's another lane that's coming in. And I watched this, looked like a utility truck, had a ladder on it and looked some other stuff on it. I watched this truck start to flip, and it's rolling right at me. And I remember as I came around and I saw it, I heard God say, keep your eyes on the road. And as I just kind of braced myself for impact, it was boom. And things off of the truck didn't hit me. Things off the truck hit the car, blew out the back window. Something hit the front, just not hit the windshield, but hit the part right before the windshield, just enough to hit it, shatter the windshield. But nothing hit me. And I remember I just kept going till I came to a stop. By the time I stopped, I was probably 30, 40 feet. I was some, you know, maybe even like 20, 30 yards away from the truck. And when I got out of my car and I walked back, because the guy that was in the truck flipped out the truck and made sure he was okay. And when the paramedics got there and everybody got there, they're standing there and said, sir, were you involved? I said, yes, I was. And where's your car? I said, it's right down there. That's your car down there? And we walked down and he looked at my car. He said, I don't know how you're still alive. Lessons. Lessons. That's when you get out of that pen in the spirit and that pad in the spirit. Jesus is a keeper. Montreal, Canada. Jesus is a healer. What's in your spiritual journal? What are life lessons in your journal that every now and then you need to pull out, and you need to be able to read through those things, and you need to be able to remind yourself? Because the challenge that these that followed Jesus, the problem that they had is they were not taking notes. They weren't taking notes. They're just going from one experience to the next, one experience to the next. And somehow we need to help the church. We need to help the body. We need to help one another. You got to take notes. Jesus is saying, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? He's saying, you're the same guys that were with me when we fed the 5,000. You're the same guys that were with me when we fed the 4,000. When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets of broken pieces were left over? 12. When I broke this for the 7, the 4,000, how many baskets were left? Well, how many pieces were left over? How many baskets? 7. And then he says this, do you not understand? Can you just say with me right now, Lord, help me. understand. Help me understand. So maybe it would be good to sit down and ask yourself the question, what experiences have you been through that were designed by God to be teachable moments? What lessons have you learned that can be applied to your current situation? Because we all have them. And I'm saying to all of us that the Father is saying, I need you to remember now. I need you to remember how I brought you through that health challenge. I need you to remember how I brought you through that financial challenge. I need you to remember how I protected you. I need you to remember how I healed you from that relationship. I need you to remember, because you are a part of my reaching the world. And church, it's time now. Body of Christ, it's time now.